Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org.
You know, when you start practicing and you start hearing the word sesshin, you set up these expectations of what that might be about. And of course, when you actually do one, it's nothing like what you have in your mind. Probably fortunately. Sesshin means gathering heart and mind, which I think is an apt description for what the experience of going on sesshin is. It's about pulling all of yourself together and putting into action with body and mind. And for me, the context of wanting to go on sesshin, I'm just going to read to you what the characters on the Han that are struck during our service, which means, let me respectfully remind you, life and death are of supreme importance. Time swiftly passes and opportunity is lost. Each of us must strive to awaken. Awaken. This night your days will have diminished by one. Take heed, do not squander life. Which is really a call to action. To make the effort, have the intention, the effort to awaken. I've found that not only on sesshin, but on any of the retreats that we do, it's such an incredible opportunity to let go of the world, of our daily life and activities, and enter into this place, a physical place, and a support system with fellow practitioners who are all working together for the same thing, to get quiet, to realize our life as it is. One of the things that I always struggle with is dealing with things like pain and discomfort. You know, everybody has something they're going to be dealing with. In many respects, the suffering caused by physical pain pales in significance in comparison to me of my attachment to wanting things to be different than they are somehow. One of the big insights I had at Bodhi was that, I was struck by the pace of everything. You know, I'm not the fastest guy in the Sangha. And getting from one building to the next, eventually worked out a system where I would have a head of people sort of get in place. But getting to the dining hall and things like that is always just scrambling to get there. I struggle with that aspect of it. And I just felt like I came up to this wall of my limitations. And I was very self-conscious about that. I didn't want to disrupt other people's practice. But those limitations, those physical limitations that I always seemed to fight against, all of a sudden it sort of dawned on me that it's not my physical limitations that are an issue, it's my attachment to wanting things, to thinking things should be different than they are. That's what causes my suffering in that situation. An actual realization of that helped a bit. Just knowing that I'm just attached to an ideal, I'm grasping for something that isn't, and it causes a lot of suffering. Another insight that I had about this, it's like what we read at the end of our chant, Dharma gates are numberless, I vow to enter them. Certainly a paradoxical statement. I mean, if they're numberless, how are we possibly enter all these gates? for me, I started having a sense of what a Dharma gate is, anything, any portal that I can step through that gives me a glimpse into enlightenment, gives me an opportunity to deepen my practice. And I don't have to seek out those gates. They show up every moment, every day. And usually they're not something I want to deal with. Maybe it is that feeling of limitation or coming out of a retreat and the car doesn't start. Any number of different things. Those are all Dharma gates, an opportunity for me to put my practice into action and learn. It takes a certain amount of cojones, I guess, to put yourself into a situation, getting out of one's comfort zone. But it's certainly worth it. Of how else are we to grow? So enabling ourselves to push up against those things that are difficult for us, challenging, and to consider them Dharma gates and opportunities to awaken, I think is what session and retreats are all about for me. I would like to share one other thing, speaking of Dharma gates, and some of these gates for me are seem to be revolving doors. Because I think, okay, I'm going to work with this one for a while, and then all of a sudden there it is in a different flavor. After the Bodhi session, it's physically taxing, and I was really ready to get home. And Burnett and I were flying out at the same time. And one of the people that was on session offered to drive us to the airport, which is a ways away. It's about an hour change. So, and then he was going to meet with some people in downtown Albuquerque. So he, we go screaming into Albuquerque airport, and we jump out and head in, and Robert, who was drove us, took off. And Burnett and I go up to the counter to get checked in. And they ask me for my ID, and I reach into my purse, and my wallet's not there. He's like, uh-oh. So not only was my wallet wasn't there, but that meant my ID, my credit card, money, anything. I was completely SOL there. And trying not to just completely melt down. We managed to call Robert, who was probably an hour away or so, and he just turned right around on the freeway and came back and brought my wallet, which had fallen down into the under the floor of the car somehow. So then it was a mass scramble to get checked in and race to the gate. So after having 7 days of just complete present moment awareness and chill, boom, that was sober. That was after session last year. After the retreat this year, which just ended on Sunday, I came out and got all my stuff packed up in my car and went to start it, and nothing happened. And it wasn't like a dead bat, it was like the thing had rigor mortis. So fortunately for me, David Steele came back to find something and saw me there and stayed with me. And eventually David and Kaj rescued me, and I stayed with them while I figured out how to get my car towed off the island up to Linwood, or the nearest Lexus place that could work on my car. Long story, but again, it was one of those, that revolving gate of how you're going to deal with real life when it just hits you right in the face. It helps so much to have the support of a loving Sangha around to take care of ourselves and each other. So for anybody that has not gone on retreat or gone on sesshin, I would highly recommend it. I think that's cool.
Expecting Bill, we're so lucky to have Bill and his insights of Bodhi.
I don't think. Well,
yeah, you do.
I do. Okay, yeah.
Don't worry.
Okay.
Come to Dinzu. I'm going to tell you about it.
Okay. All right. I had no idea that I was going to do anything here. So I'm good at winging things. My experience was pretty interesting. By the way, Susan and I were at Bodhi 2 days ago. We just got back from the Southwest, and we helped Hosen. Hosen had pretty much only like one or two people there, and she was struggling because she was doing a big ceremony, I guess today and yesterday, for someone who had died in their community. Mm-hmm. So the whole community was coming, and then she was doing something else.
Ordination,
and then a yoga retreat with 50 people, and then you guys are coming. So Susan and I volunteered, and we helped her clean and stuff on, which was really kind of sweet. My experience at Bodhi was, don't ever let me go there again. but it was really cool to be there 2 days ago, actually. It was really sweet. My experience was very different. And really challenged me, and it's interesting that it's been a year since that. It's been an incredible year, and I think that the two things I can think about that I got from Bodhi was one, that I was really struggling with myself emotionally, not so much physically, just like coming up against my walls constantly, and wanting to leave and staying. And the other thing was, I came up with the catchphrase for my animation festival during the meditation, which was really important to me. It actually all convalesced there, which I probably shouldn't have been doing, but that's what I did. It's a beautiful place. Really, really sweet, you know, homey. It feels kind of like here, except it's in the Southwest. The hot springs were beautiful. The whole place is really kind of down to earth. And I kind of feel like that experience was really important for me, to have that struggle and that fight, and not to give up. And just keep coming, keep meditating. And I vowed never to do another retreat again, and now I've changed my mind over the course of the year, and I feel like I'm up for it, to do it again. But it was pretty unique experience. And we meditated on Friday night in the Sutra Hall, Susan and I, and it was wonderful. Such a beautiful space, and we just sat, and it was just this deep, for me, it was a very deep experience to sit there on Friday night. And you guys will have the pleasure of this new cook, new Tenzo, who's there. A guy named Joe, who, sitting across from him, we ended up that we both went to college in the same school at the same place at the same time in Boston. And we had this conversation with like five of us sitting around the table. Me and Joe were just talking about, we knew all the same people. I hadn't seen this guy, never knew this guy. We were in this, he was a year younger than me. And he's the Tenzo, and he's been cooking for years, and the food was fantastic.
Wow.
So you guys are in for a treat. You have to wear
it. I will.
Okay, I just got a couple of insights. It was a really comfortable setting, because we first got there and we walked into the dining hall and Koshin was there. It was so weird to get off a plane and then be driven an hour and show up, and Koshin showed up. It was like crazy. And then Stephen was there, Bill, Susan, and Sissel. It was so nice to have a group of us practicing together. Unfortunately, Sissel's mom got sick about a day into the sesshin, and she had to leave, but she shared with me, she gave me a poem. She had gone in 2016, and she wanted me to share this poem with you that she wrote at that time. 100 rhythmic times around the parking lot, this prosaic square of asphalt won't hold still. Rounding the corner, huddled against the pre-dawn frost, suddenly a vast black sky opens, prickled with eons of light. Rounding the corner, where have the stars gone? A sharp line of red gold glows on the mesa top, promising warmth. Rounding the corner, first morning sun glints off the raven's back as he flies up the canyon, calling us home. Rounding the corner, the warm afternoon holds one student and one tortoise-shell cat drowsing on the sunny bench, waiting for Doku-san. Rounding the corner, chill evening air brings the smell of frying onions. I wonder what's for supper. Rounding the corner, bundled again in cold and dark, the frost glints off the asphalt. Rounding the corner, whoa, the ghost tree by the Zendo has stars in its hair. So the other thing that happened is I wore robes for the first time. That was crazy. You don't have to bring near as many clothes. It's helpful that way because, you know, you're wearing the same thing. And the sleeves are remarkable. You can hold all kinds of stuff in the sleeves. They never really tell you that. But you have to be careful in the restroom. There's a lot of cloth. And you also, when you go to do dishes, they give you this funky rope to wear, and it holds back your sleeves so you can wash the dishes. It's cool, really cool. But I, before we left, somebody asked me if I might be Denzu, and I said, well, sure, I love chanting. You know, I kind of know the Heart Sutra. It should be no problem at all, no problem. Well, I didn't know much, and that's really my experience. This is the 9 pages of Denzu instructions that I got when I showed up. My experience in Bodhi was busy. I was up before 4:30. I was in charge of the sutra hall. I lit candles, I made tea, I arranged cushions. I set up for Doku-san. I had to learn how to serve a meal and serve as a handikan and then supervise some handikans. I had to always check in with the tenzo about the folks who were eating and what we were having and that we had everything we needed. I was in charge of cleaning up the dining hall. I swept, I did the benches, I took care of the hot water that was ongoing. I was doing gongs in the sutra hall. I was doing the chanting twice a day. I did some laundry, and then I volunteered to take care of the chickens. So it was busy for me. And what I noticed was I had a lot of resistance to everything I didn't know how to do, because I didn't know how to do probably any of this. So I got a lot of correction. I got corrections every day on everything. There were a lot of rules I didn't know about. It's about day 4, and Hosin says to me, quietly of course, just off to the side, that I needed to use this little gong to hit a certain rhythm to bring people from the Zendo into the dining hall for a meal. And it one more second, and I would have thrown that gong at her. I was like, now you're just making up stuff to aggravate me, I am sure. Like, this cannot be real. Like, 4 days in, and I still don't know all the rules. So it was kind of remarkable. I was pushed because I like to do things right, probably perfectly if I can. And there was no chance. There was just no chance. Because I had the ground, the sand was shifting under my feet every second. That was hard. And then about 4 days in, I was sitting at between the 7 and 9 o'clock p.m., and my heart started beating so fast, I knew I was going to have a heart attack right on the spot. I'm looking around, you know, kind of looking around like, who's here, and how far is it to Albuquerque, and who can drive me? I know I'm going to die, What do? I breathe. And I breathe, and I chant, okay, I can do this, I can do that. Got through the sitting, ran outside. There was still a spot left for Doku-san with Hosin, and I signed up immediately. If I'm going to die, I'd rather die in her presence. She could do some chant or something over me, and that would be okay. Well, I get in there, and she takes my pulse, and she looks at me, and she's very calm. She says, I think you'll be okay. She says, I think your heart sutra is opening. I was like, oh shit. Like, I don't think it's going to come out of my chest, but okay, I'll take your word for it, you know? Anyway, I was okay. I had never had a panic attack before, and it was really scary, but I sat through it. So that was a big lesson, and I'm kind of now glad I got to be there and do it there. I think it was just having been 4 days into a quiet sesshin, my body kind of rebelled against the stress I had been putting it under the prior 3 months and found a great opening with this quiet person sitting on a cushion. Let's attack. Anyway. So that's our impressions. We're sort of at time, but I guess if anybody had a question, we could answer one or two. Elizabeth?
How do we get on the mailing list or know about when they're having retreats and things like that?
Well, we can pick you up a Saturday morning at about 4 in the morning, and you can go this next week. So there's still room if anybody wants us to swing by and get you on the way to the Alaska flight Saturday morning. But apart from that, I think if you just type in Bodhi Manda, you know, you can get to their website and join their mailing list.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.